Would take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to read a few verses here and then I'm going to go to Acts chapter 9. So there's really two places primarily, and we'll be in, most of it will be in chapter 9, but our introductory remarks will be here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll begin in verse number 9. Of course, Timothy is a young preacher under the ministry and watch care of the Apostle Paul. And Paul is writing to this young preacher and giving him instruction. And in verse number 9, we pick up our reading here of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers, for fathers, or murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, and I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. Which this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Here we find the Apostle Paul writing to this young preacher boy named Timothy, and he is giving him instructions concerning the law. We began reading in verse number 9, but if you look in verse 8, it says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." When Paul is talking about the law, he's talking about the law of Moses, the commandments of God that was given to Israel. And the law was good for those that use it right. And then he goes and he says, knowing this, knowing that particular statement, he says that the law was not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. The reason we have laws tonight is to keep people in line. It's not to keep make good people better. It's to keep unlawful people intact and keep them in place where that you can have civil law and civil obedience unto the things around us. And so he tells us here that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, the ungodly. And he gives a whole list of people that fall under this category, why the law was given to them. But then he goes on and he talks about his own personal salvation in verse number 12, 11 and 12. He says, "According to the glorious gospel which was committed to my trust," he said, "I thank Jesus Christ," and he goes on and says, "who has enabled me and counted me faithful," and then he says, "putting me into the ministry." And goes on, and as we read the verses, he said in verse number 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show forth all longsuffering," and here's what I want us to think about tonight, "for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, Paul's talking about his salvation and the ministry that was committed unto him, and how that the Lord trusted him and placed him, put him, thrust him into that ministry, that he was a blasphemer. And Paul talks about how that he was a persecutor, but he said, "I obtained mercy." Thank God tonight for mercy. God doesn't look at us exactly all that way that we look at each other. And Paul says, "I was injurious to folks." And Paul says, I was a persecutor, but the mercy of God took care of that. And he said later, he said he did that, that those that would come after him, that they might believe in the life everlasting. And so here we find an event that took place in Paul's life, when he was known as Saul, we find that there was an event that took place in his life that made a difference in him, and according to verse number 16, it made a difference in those that would follow after. It made a difference in those that would believe, that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And so the thing that happened in Paul's life was something that not only affected him and his family and his close relationship in the ministry, but it was something that was going to affect the lives of people that were following after Paul. And he says, as they believe on Jesus to life everlasting. So I want us to think tonight upon the subject of an event that changed the world that was to come. Paul lived and he was a persecutor of the church, and we'll be looking at that in just a moment. But this event that took place in Paul's life not only changed his life, but it was effective upon others that would come after him. And I dare say that tonight we could say it's effective upon our life, because of what the Lord did in Paul's life has blossomed and bloomed and has continued on. And the great ministry of the Apostle Paul continued on years and years. And as the gospel spread westward, and of course, as the gospel spread, people were saved, churches were established, and it just was a continual process of people being saved, people being born again. And Paul says, God, through His mercy, put me into the ministry, counted me faithful. And he said the reason for that is for people that would come hereafter might believe and have life eternal or life everlasting. And so Paul is making reference here to his conversion. He's making reference to what happened in his life as we read it in the book of Acts chapter 9. And so if you would turn to that chapter tonight, and we'll spend the rest of our time right here in this chapter of Acts chapter number 9. As Paul referenced many times in his writings, he would talk about and he would testify as to what the Lord did for him that day on the road to Damascus. When he stood before kings and priests, he would be one that would be given opportunity to say some words, and Paul would speak concerning that day that he met the Lord. You see, that day changed his life. That day made a difference in Paul's life. And those of us that are saved, those of us that are born again, I dare say that we can go back to that day in our life, and it's changed us. It's made a difference, and it's affected those around us. And so the process that took place in this man called Saul, that later is known as Paul, the process that took place in his life is that which has happened also in our lives. And just as it made a difference in him, it makes a difference in us. As it made a difference in those around him, we can have a difference in our community, in our areas, for what the Lord has done for us. And that's a great verse there where Paul says that he was thankful that the Lord counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry, literally thrusting Paul into the ministry of preaching the gospel. And of course, the great missionary endeavors that Paul did, it all goes back to one event that happened in his life that made a difference. And we want to read about it tonight in Acts chapter number 9. This is the account that the apostle, that Luke, the physician, gives us as he gives the account here in the book of Acts, Luke being the human author and telling us the things that were taking place in this first book of, really the history book of the New Testament. Now in verse number 1 and 2, we find out something about Saul that was a very detrimental to the people of the Lord. In verse number 1 and verse number 2, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues." And here's what he wanted: "That if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Now here's what Saul was breathing and threatening to those disciples of the Lord. And he says, if I find any of this way, I like the terminology there, this way, the way of the Lord, the way of the gospel, the way of salvation. Paul goes to the high priest, he says, if I find any of this way, I want to have papers in hand, I want to have authority, to bring them back to Jerusalem, and even if need be, put them to death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 1 and 2, we find Saul, the persecuting sinner. We find him as a sinner that was vibrant. He was very active. He was very vocal. He was very zealous of what he desired to do, and he was breathing out threatenings against the people of God, against those that disciples of the Lord. And so he goes to the high priest, and he said, I want to have authority to take care of this people that's of this way. These that follow the Lord, and these that are believers in Christ, and these that are disciples of the Lord, I want to be able to bring them bound again to Jerusalem, and if need be, we can put them to death. And so Saul was a persecuting sinner. And Saul says here that he desired to bring these folks of the disciples and to bring them, whether they be men or whether they be women, to bind them and to bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. Here Saul of Tarsus hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus of Nazareth, and he persecuted the Christians to death because they were disciples of the Lord. And we find that he later on talks about that he was guilty of the blood of the saints, and he was exceeding mad against them, the Scripture tells us in the book of Acts 26. And so we find that Saul was a persecuting sinner, and he did everything he could do to belittle and to destroy this movement that was called these disciples of Jesus Christ. And so Saul, in his very beginning, he's not someone that we would desire to be our neighbors. If I lived in Jerusalem at that time, I wouldn't want Saul being my neighbor. I wouldn't want him being near me. I wouldn't want him being around me, because he despised everything that the Christians stood for. He despised everything that Jesus taught, and he zealously was working against them. But all the time, Saul thought he was serving God. Saul was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He later on tells us in one of his testimonies of salvation, he later on tells us that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he says, I was a chief of sinners. And so we find Paul later recognized of what he was and understood that he was a persecutor of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was a persecuting sinner here in verse 1 and 2. And he desired to destroy the things of God. There's a lot of people out there that follow that rule, and they follow that direction even today. They don't want us around. They don't desire us to be there. And this one man that I got an email from, I forget where it was, and he said they were handing out tracts and handing out brochures concerning their church services, and somebody tears one in half. He keeps the address, and he sends the other half of the tract back to him through mail. And he said, if you do not cease and stop giving out these things, I'm turning your name over to the authorities. Now, there's still folks just like the Apostle Paul, as he was when he was Saul. You know why? Because they, just like Saul was, they lost. Without God, without any hope. And Saul of Tarsus hated the very activity of the people of God. So that tells us in verse 1 and 2 that he was a persecutor. Now notice in verse number 3 and down through verse number 6. As he journeyed. Now he's got papers, authority in hand. And he is journeying from Jerusalem to Damascus. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So here is persecuting Saul, persecuting sinner. He's on his road to Damascus, and he meets up with a pleading Savior. He meets up with one that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? They said, Saul didn't persecute Christ. Oh, but Jesus said, Why persecutest thou me? For when we persecute believers, we are persecuting the Lord. And Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why persecutest thou me? How touching this is, plea from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior from glory. He says, I am, and he says, who art thou? And he says, I am the Lord. And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So immediately Saul, in his rage against the Christians, because they were disciples of the Lord, verse 1 tells us he knew who he was fighting against, because they were disciples of the Lord. All of a sudden the Lord introduces himself as he goes from Jerusalem to Damascus, and Saul says it's like a light shining from heaven, and he said, I heard a voice saying, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. And immediately Saul knew who he was dealing with. He was dealing with the one that he's persecuting. He was dealing with the one. And thank God for the Savior that would plead. And I'm glad tonight the Lord still pleads. I'm glad He still offers. I'm glad He still calls. I'm glad He still says, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when people fight against Him, the question could be asked, why are you persecuting me? And why persecute the gospel and believers? Because believers make the best citizens of a country. Believers make the best people to deal with. Believers are if they're true with the Lord and true with the Word of God, they're the best folks around. And so why persecute them? And so Saul comes face to face as that persecutor, and he comes to face with the Savior that's pleading with him, why persecutest thou me? Paul, I dare say the Lord got Paul's attention. We read on here, verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Immediately Saul understood that what he was doing was against the cause and against the work of God. He thought he was zealous for God. He tells us that in other places. He said, I thought I was doing the work of God, and I was zealous in all the works of the Hebrew religion and the Jewish religion and all the things and the rules and the regulations. And Saul thought he was doing God a favor until he met the Savior, until he met Jesus Christ. What will you have me to do? Now, in verse number 7 and 8, let's notice here. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. I would be too. If that took place, I'd be speechless. Because those that were journeying with him, they had the same mindset that Saul had. And those that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Saul was convicted of what was taking place. The conviction was upon him. He had heard the voice. He had talked with the Lord. And Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against these things. It's hard for you to understand these things. And Saul trembling said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And there we find Saul coming to him as a repentant sinner and a penance in his heart and life. He said, what do you want me to do? Now, I believe every Christian ought to ask that question. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me? What's my place in your work? And where do you want me to serve? And how do you want me to serve? So as those that were with him, as they heard the voice, they stood speechless. They didn't understand all that was going on. When Saul arose from the earth, he was blind. He could not see, and he had to be led. We find here that the work of God had been in his heart. You see, we find Saul discovered some things about this man, Jesus Christ. He discovered that he was the Lord of glory. He discovered that this man, Jesus, that he was fighting against, all of a sudden he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? He discovered that Jesus was not just some mere man. He wasn't just somebody on the wayside or on the the byway. He wasn't someone just in passing, but this man Jesus, that he hated the work that he had done, all of a sudden he realized that Jesus was the Lord of glory and that he was this man called Christ Jesus. He discovered that that Jesus knew all about him. He said, "Why are you doing these things?" And Saul realized, and he learned the secret here that Jesus knew about him, and he brought him before his face, and Saul had to do something with it. You know, sometimes when the gospel is preached, we have to do something with it. Sometimes we just have to say yes or no. Well, every time we have to say yes or no. But sometimes the gospel is presented in such a way, and the Holy Spirit takes that word and takes that message and puts it in our heart and brings us to a point that we're under conviction, brings us to a point that we're uneasy in our heart, we're uneasy about life, we're uneasy about eternity, we're uneasy about where to go, what to do, where to live, all those things, the uneasiness of life, and it's just simply because we don't know Christ. And so here we find Saul learned that Jesus knew him and that he had been marked out for the ministry. Jesus said, "Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now, when he got to Damascus, the things that he must do was a whole lot different than he thought they would be. When he got to Damascus, he wasn't going to look for those of this way. They were going to find him, and he was going to be led to them. When he got to Damascus, he wasn't going to put somebody in prison. He wasn't going to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem, but Jesus had a different aspect of life. Jesus had a different plan for him. And Paul discovered this secret that Jesus loved him, cared for him. And later on, as we read tonight, Paul said, "I'm thankful that God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know when that happened? It happened right here on the road to Damascus. The Lord said, "I've got a job for you. I've got a task for you to do." Now, in verse number 10, the Bible says in verse 9 that for 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. I'd say he was disturbed. I'd say he'd had an encounter that he'd never had one like that before. He's blind. He was going to Damascus. He was in good health. Everything was well. He thought he had his life all planned out. But there's an event took place there that day that changed him and changed the world. But I believe tonight we have the gospel because the Apostle Paul got saved. Because he went westward and the ministry and the gospel was preached. It went into Europe. It went into to those areas that we know of as Europe. And of course we are of European descent. And when the folks came to America, came to this land, they came wanting freedom of believing and preaching and teaching and studying the Word of God and having the liberty and freedom to do as they pleased in that. There's 2 or 3 times that Paul wanted to go eastward. And he was forbid of the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, "I don't think the Lord would ever forbid you to preach the gospel." He did Paul. He said, "I don't want you to go there. I forbid you to go there." And he said, "Lo, we turn and we go that way. Macedonia calls." And we have that great message that, and that vision that Paul had of the man from Macedonia calling. He turns to the Gentiles and preaches to them. And what a wonderful thing it is to know Christ tonight. Verse number 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said, and said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." I enjoy how the Lord works on both sides. God has it all under control. Has it all under construction, I guess we could put it, and it's going to work out. So here he is, he's met Paul or Saul, and Saul, he's had an encounter that he's never had before, and he's blind, and he's troubled, he hasn't eaten for 2 or 3 days, and in the meantime, here's this man, Ananias, and the Lord comes to him and awakens him and says, "Ananias," he says, "I'm here, Lord." Well, that's a good response when the Lord asks you something. That's a great response when you feel the Lord's tugging on your heart. Say, "I'm here, Lord. What do you have me to do? What do you need?" And the Lord said unto him, verse 11, "Rise and go to the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas one, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Oh, that's interesting. He has seen a vision. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Verse 13 is interesting. Probably before we jump on Ananias too much, what would our thoughts be? Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard. You ever had anybody say, I've heard about him? That's what Ananias was saying. He said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Buddy, Saul had a reputation. His reputation preceded him. And Ananias, he said, Lord, I've heard about him. I like the way he says how he's treated thy servants there in Jerusalem. And in verse 14, and here in Damascus, here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Lord, are you sure you want me to go down there and see Saul? Saul of Tarsus. Because I'm sort of thinking he's got my name on the list. Because he's bound. He's come to bind us that follow Jesus Christ. And I sort of, you know how we do. We talk to the Lord and we sort of say, now are you sure, Lord? Are you sure that's what you want me to do? I've heard of this man. I've heard of how much evil he's done in Jerusalem. And now here in this place in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priest from Jerusalem to bind all that call on thy name. And I'm sure Ananias is saying, and I'm one of them. I'm one of those. But the Lord said to him, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and His care and watch care over His people and the soothing words that Jesus can give us. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Paul said, I count myself, I'm thankful God can be faithful, putting me, placing me. Here Jesus says, I've chosen him, and he is a vessel unto me. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Here in this one verse, verse number 15, we have the outline of Paul's life. We have the outline that God, the Lord Jesus gives to Ananias. Here's this Saul. I know you've heard about him, but Ananias, he's a chosen vessel to me. There's a reason that I want you to go see him, because he's going to do something. God knows what we're going to do. God knows what he has planned for us. And he says, Ananias, he is chosen, and here's what he's going to do. He's going to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. There's three peoples there that Jesus said Paul is going to preach to. And if you'll check Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 25, different places, you'll find that Saul, later who became Paul, he preached to Gentiles, he preached to kings, and he preached to Israel. Those are the three groups that Paul ministered to as a preacher of the gospel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Saul is going to be a servant. He's a chosen vessel. He's going to have really what the Lord's saying. He's saying he's going to be successful. He's going to be a preacher. He's going to preach to Gentiles. And he's going to preach to the kings. He's going to preach to his own people. Paul later would say, if it would be possible that he could be a curse for his own people, his kinsmen according to the flesh, the Jew, he would. He loved his people. He desired for them to come to know Christ. But he said, not only is he going to be successful, but he's going to have serious problems. He's going to suffer great things. Of course, we know the life of the Apostle Paul. And so we find here the outline given of Paul's life. And so as the Bible says in verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Ananias was convinced. Good words here. Ananias was convinced what Jesus said to him was true. Because he goes to the house. He lays his hands on him. Paul receives his sight. And notice what he says. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. That means they were in the same family. Saul had made a transformation from one family to another. He had gone from one kingdom to another kingdom. All of a sudden, no longer was he an enemy of the gospel. Now he was a brother in Christ. And here this man Ananias, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest. That same one that you met, he came to me, he says, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so here we find, now from verse 18 on down through the through verse number 22, we find that Paul, he begins his ministry. Verse 18 and 19, he receives his sight and he's baptized. In verse number 20, and straightway he preached. So here we go from a persecutor to a preacher in just a process of 3 or 4 days. On the road to Damascus, he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. He meets Ananias. Ananias don't want to go, but he's convinced of the Lord that everything's well. And he goes and says, Brother Saul, that Jesus that you met, he came to me. He came to where I was, and you're one of us. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That's Paul's message. From that moment on, Paul, who was a persecuting sinner, he preaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know what he preaches? He preaches the same thing that John did in John in his gospel. Jesus is deity. And so he preached Christ, and he fulfilled one of the things that the Lord said he was going to do. He's going to preach to the children of Israel. First place he went was into the synagogue. You'll find many, many occasions when Paul goes into a city, the Bible talks about as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. And he tried his best to lead and to show his people, the Jew, that Jesus Christ, who he persecuted, who he despised, who he hated, he tried to convince them that he was the Son of God. Great transformation in Paul's life. No wonder Paul would say in verse number 12 of 1 Timothy 1, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You ought to put out beside that verse Acts chapter 9, because that's when it happened. The Lord counted him faithful, and he put him, thrust him into the ministry. And Paul began his ministry of preaching the gospel to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and then before it was over, to kings. He stood before King Agrippa. And the Bible says that the king trembled as Paul preached unto him. And Paul gives his testimony. And he trembles under that. He says, Almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would that you not be almost, but altogether, such as I. Paul was convinced. On that road to Damascus, he was convinced that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Happens that quick. Can't figure it out. The Lord comes and saves us. And there in Timothy, Paul said, He did that for me. And he did it for all those that would follow hereafter. As Ananias' name was on Paul's list that day, to be taken bound and taken to Jerusalem to be possibly put to death, as Ananias' name was there, and he knew it, he said, I've heard of this man Saul. I believe our name was in that when Paul said, to those that would follow hereafter. That's us. We have followed after Paul. And have the gospel tonight because there was an event in his life that not only changed his world, But it changed the world. And it changed my world. And every one of us that's saved tonight, it's changed our world. Not only the world here, but the world to come. Thank God for heaven. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ and for the faithfulness of the man of God by, first of all, known as persecuting sinner. But now he's a preaching saint, all because he met Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.